Weird.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, episode two. Here we go.
And who all is here, Tom?
Shane Simmons.
Yeah.
And Tom Robbins, once cool. again, talking about grief.
Yes. So what are we talking about this week?
So, quick recap of last week was I kind of just told the story of the day. A little bit of feelings, a little bit of the day of I got the call about Pat passing. And so this week, I don't know what we're going to talk about. I think we're just going to talk.
Yeah, that's fair.
I talked to my older brother Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And he was like, I saw you did, you know, started a podcast. I said, yeah, I did. You know, just trying to talk about it. Maybe it'll help someone. If nothing else, I'm getting it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
He said, he couldn't bring himself to listen to it yet.
Fair, yeah.
Because he's like, I know what you're going to talk about.
Well, yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, it's not easy, yeah. Right? And everyone deals with it in their own way. Mm-hmm. So no judgment,
yeah. Right?
I think that's the important thing. Where we left off was Jen loading the car with all the clothes from my closet.
Yeah.
So she ended up driving up to Michigan. Mm-hmm. We stayed with my buddy Sam and his wife and their family and. You know, he was very much like, house is yours, whatever you need. So we were able to do most of our business right from the kitchen table there, which was super, super cool of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have those people. And it's crazy to think about the whole, like, looking back and trying to process, you know, everything that went on, it was like, I just wanted to wake from that nightmare.
Yeah.
The, as you said last time, you know, it's so surreal. I didn't really know what way was up.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a drastic change all at once that, like, it just kind of pulls you out of reality for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does. God, it's like a kick in the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter handled it really well. She was more concerned about, you know, me and how I was dealing with it. She is such a good person. So to have her going through all of her stuff and still, you know, more concerned with someone else outside of her head.
Yeah.
You know. And I still weird to think back on that weekend. You know, just that weekend particularly if you would have asked me that weekend, I would have told you I'll be okay in a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, when my dad passed, it was, you know, it was hard. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, a couple of days, a really, really bad drunk. Just like one night, a really bad drunk.
Yeah.
I was drunk for like 2 days.
So maybe that's part of the difference is, we were talking about last time, the difference between like being able to see it coming, like knowing that somebody has some sort of issue that you can kind of prepare yourself for, like, take those mental steps to kind of
really prepare for it.
Yeah, yeah. Versus something that's just kind of sudden.
Yeah, out of the blue. It's.
Do you think that has something to do with that, or?
I would say partially. You know, like, so with, you know, with my dad, it was COPD. I mean, he smoked for 51 years.
Jesus.
Yeah, and it got to a point where he couldn't walk 10 feet without having to stop halfway and catch his breath.
Yeah.
You know, so that itself was hard to watch. You know, you think, you know, what's better? Is it better for him to not be able to walk and to suffer knowing that he feels like he's drowning the whole time?
Yeah.
Or, you know, would it be better for him to pass? And, you know, I don't really know. You know, it's like that was kind of a weird situation in itself. Not really a weird situation. We saw it coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
And I think Pat took that really hard. You know, he was like Dad's favorite forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that for Pat, that probably started the spiral, you know, and he couldn't stay away from drinking.
Yeah.
He would do good for sometimes a couple of years, and then once he had that first sip, it was down the toilet. And it went fast. Terrible.
Yeah.
So is it, you know, is it better to see it coming? It's maybe a little easier to deal with.
I'm just curious why you would have said that it that you thought it would only take you a couple of days to get over it.
Because, well, I don't know that I don't think I would have said it would have taken me a couple of days to get over it. I think I would have said after a couple of days I'll be okay.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Better way to phrase that.
Yeah, because I don't think, like we talked about last time, you know, there is no getting over losing someone so significant. It's
to get past it to the point where you can function.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, looking when my dad passed, you know, it was like I went back to work after 3 or 4 days. So my assumption was
that it would be similar.
Yeah, or would have been that it would have been similar, you know, a couple of days and I can get back to it. However, you know, that obviously wasn't the case. I mean, you're talking 1 hour a little bit here and there between the time he passed and maybe August, but August I really kind of started hammering down again, you know, and getting back to it. And that was large part of that was probably my therapist, you know, recognizing, hey, I need something, you know, maybe some guidance to get through this. And it was, I don't know, she's been a huge help.
So are you still going?
Yeah.
Good.
Cool. Yeah, she's on vacation this month, but I've got a scheduled call with her, I think, in a couple of days.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so things are, you know, I was kind of thinking the other day, maybe I don't need it anymore, but I'm pretty certain that I do. It's when I thought that when we went on vacation in June, you know, it was two and a half months after Pat passed, I went and picked up my nephew and had him for a couple of weeks, and I guess I didn't, you know, at the time I didn't recognize it. It was, I'm sure that seeing him you know, brought back a lot of memories of Pat and likely some of the anger as well. Like, how can you do this? You know, you've got an 8-year-old son.
Yeah.
And you just left him. Which brings up the question, is suicide selfish or selfless?
Yeah, I feel like from all the people that I've personally talked to that have been seriously suicidal, they feel like it's relieving some sort of burden on the people around them.
Yeah.
They feel like they are just such a heavyweight, they're just dragging everyone around them down, and eliminating that will actually help the people around them.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I think that's a lot of it. You know, they all, more times, I guess, you know, most everyone that I've talked to, you know, said very similar things. You know, I'm just a big burden. You're not.
Yeah.
You know, you're a person, you know, a burden. You're not a burden. Yeah, I guess I wish more people would see that.
Yeah. But it's not about realizing that intellectually. It's that feeling that you have deep down in your gut, like, and that's hard to argue with.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the, you're right, it's that gut feeling. You know, if you always feel like a burden, it doesn't matter what you think.
Yep. Doesn't matter what people say, how they try to convince you, because it's just there.
Yeah. Yeah, like that nagging weight
mm-hmm.
the whole time. Anyway, so what, kind of major loss have you had in life?
Well, I lost my grandmother when I was really young, but I don't have a whole lot of like familial connections. Well, other than my chosen ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, losing my grandmother was kind of rough. But, of course, I was maybe 10, 11, somewhere around in there. And by that point, we had kind of, like, moved to a different part of town. We didn't really, like, see her a whole bunch. I mean, it was rough, but, I don't know, maybe it's just easier to get past that stuff when you're a kid.
Yeah, I would say that's likely, you know, the case. As we grow older, we become more aware of our mortality.
Yeah.
You know, so losing someone as we're a little bit older may be a little more difficult. You know, or maybe there's got to be a spot where you're like, man, I really don't want to lose anyone else. And then, you know, where it's really hard to deal with, rather. And then you hit another spot where it's like, okay, it's just part of life.
Yeah. And of course, the older you are, the longer you've had to build a connection with somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, the stronger that bond is. I mean, you've been through it for however many more years.
Yeah, it's not a... I don't know, not been an easy spot. I guess losing people when we were younger seemed easier, you know, possibly because we're, one, more resilient, two, don't have as strong of a bond as we do in our later years. It's crazy to think in the last year, I think we've been to 4 funerals, 5. The older you get, seems the faster you lose people.
Yep, every year.
You know, one of those things I struggle with is growing up, it was me, my dad, and Pat.
Yeah.
And it was just us three. You know, so to have Dad and Pat both gone now is I don't know. It's really odd to think about, you know, how am I the only one left?
Yeah. But on the other hand, you're that person to the people in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to my older brother, and it's, you know, for for most of our lives, my, you know, none of our siblings were around. It was Pat, my dad, and myself. You know, once in a while we would see some of the other siblings. And, you know, so it was just Pat and I through most of our childhood, actually. You know, Dad worked 7 days a week, 12, 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
So it was, he'd wake us up in the morning, we'd go to school, we'd come home, he's at work. You know, and then we fended for ourselves with food and whatever. You know, the friends that we had, we shared.
Yeah.
You know, everyone came to our house when we were kids. Those were some crazy times.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's that?
You remember that? I don't know if you ever did it. So when we were kids, there was a thing you would do. You would lean over and you'd breathe a whole lot, and then you'd stand up and someone would choke you and you'd pass out. Yep. Yeah, it sounds funny. It sounds really funny. We totally could have killed each other doing that stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
God, we were stupid.
As kids are.
Yeah. Yeah, God, we did that for, well, seemed like months. I got this great idea. Shot out one of my windows with a BB gun. Oh, that was terrible. It bounced off my friend's shoe. Went through the window. My dad was like, what the hell?
Yeah, yeah. That sort of stuff with BB guns is never a good idea.
Like, no.
I mean, I told you about the guy I know who legitimately got a Christmas storied, right?
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah, his buddy was shooting this BB gun in his family's basement at a metal baseball bat leaned up in the corner. And my friend turns around to quote the movie. Just to quote the movie. And as soon as he turns around, he says, you'll shoot Jiraiya! And it hits him in the eye. Like, far enough that it, like, apparently he was telling me, the doctor told him that it almost hit his brain.
Wow.
Yeah, he has a fake eye now. It's, like, almost indistinguishable. It's hand-painted. It's really nice. But yeah, he lost his entire eye. Just from some stupid times in a basement with a BB gun.
So. Yeah, we did that too. We had, Dad bought us BB guns. We were probably, I had to be 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
And we go down in the basement and have BB gun fights.
Oh, Jesus.
Like legit shooting each other. And it was, you know, luckily our guns were crap and it never punctured a hole in us. They broke windows, though.
Oh, guaranteed.
Definitely
was
broke.
It like the old school, like
Red Ryder?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
We beat them up so bad that the barrels were warped. So I could legit put it about 2 feet from your head and it would shoot right next to you.
Wow. Yeah, at least they weren't like pellet guns.
Oh.
Like the crazy ones that they have now.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Pump it like 60 times.
those things are rowdy.
It's, oh, we're crazy. God. So Pat and I, my dad never let us have an animal.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. Not that he never let us have an animal. When, about the time we had the BB guns and we're shooting each other, there was a stray dog.
Yeah.
And Dad wouldn't let us bring it home. So What did we do? We ended up kicking out one of the basement windows. Not like breaking it.
Yeah.
But we opened it enough where we could get the dog through.
Yeah.
It was down there for about 2 days before Dad realized it. We were feeding it, but it was shitting down there too.
Yeah.
That was terrible. My dad's like, what the hell are you guys doing? We wanted a dog. We got a dog. It was a beagle.
Yeah. So what exactly happened to this dog?
Yeah, we had to let it go.
Oh.
Yeah, it was terrible. I don't... You know, I say we let it go. I really don't remember. I'm sure that we took it back outside. And
yeah.
It didn't have a collar or anything, so...
Hmm.
I think it was happy to, you know, get fed.
Yeah, fair. I know I'm happy to get fed.
Yeah, me too. Dad was like, what the hell? What are you guys doing? Gotta know. God, the crazy stories. I was telling Jen, one of my biggest concerns with Pat passing away was I don't really have anyone to tell me stories.
What do you mean?
Like when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I say I have this terrible, terrible memory. Obviously, I can remember stuff.
Yeah.
Like I for the first probably 4 or 5 months, I was trying to think of any story I could with Pat, and I really couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't think of any stories. Now I'm, of course, thinking of some.
Yeah. I think it's like one of those things where sometimes if you're really focused on trying to remember the name of something, like a movie or something like that, you'll never be able to remember it.
Yeah.
But just, you start talking about something totally random 10 minutes later, and bam, just there pops it into your head.
Yep. Yeah.
It's in there. It's just how you get to it.
Yeah, you're having a hard time getting to it.
Yeah.
We're staring at a window. Like, I know, I just need to get over there.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Doing...
So had you thought about like maybe trying to tape record or write down any of the stories that you do remember?
No.
Just keep like the voice notes app on your phone or something like that handy and just record short versions of little stories as you remember them?
No, I've really never thought about that. I did try to write something one time. It's kind of like Life with Pat, but...
Yeah.
You don't have that. I think, you know, Pete Fest has been kind of a... Well, Pete Foundation has been kind of a pretty big help to see that. To see that someone's death isn't, you know, isn't necessarily the end of their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've done some tremendous things with that.
Indeed they have.
And this year will be what, year 4 for Pete Fest?
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, first year was 9 months after Pete passed away.
Yeah.
And this past year was the third year. I'd like to talk to them about doing like a heavier festival.
Yeah? Like a metal festival?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
I think they got close last year with Girlwood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I love that band.
Yeah, that was great. I wanted to see them for a long time. It was cool to actually see them. Bailey loved them.
Yeah?
Yeah. Remember what? One of those songs. Bailey's like, this song's about masturbation.
There are a good number of those.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that song's about masturbation, honey.
Yeah. Yeah, I do love that band, though.
Me too.
But, yeah, I would definitely like to see... I'd like to see them kind of expand.
Yeah.
And be a little more widely known. Which, anything like that, any sort of big venture, like a music festival or something, is going to take time.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in to listen to Tom and Shane talk about grief and whatever other random things came up. Send us a message, record an audio greeting, and let us know what you think. Ask us questions, whatever you may have.